and welcome to Food Rebels. This is the podcast that brings you brands, chef and live on-air tastings and a show that's dedicated to the more rebellious side of the food world. We celebrate people who've challenged the status quo. You know me, show host, AJ Sharp, taste expert, food writer, great taste judge, all that sort of thing. And I'm here again with the wonderful Dhruv Baker, who is the founder of the award-winning company Tempus Charcuterie and winner of MasterChef 2010 and all sorts of taste judges and pop-up supper club runner and all sorts of cool stuff going on in Dhruv's world. Welcome.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming back. We've recorded another couple of shows together, and this one is going to be all about gut health.
I am actually, from a personal perspective, genuinely intrigued about this one. So it's one of those things where gut health is one of those very zeitgeisty topics. It's very much for the uninformed, I should add. People who are into it have been forever. So I would very much consider myself to be fairly illiterate on the topic. So I'm looking forward to hearing more. But yeah, for a number of reasons which we'll go into once we get into it.
I mean, I only know really what I've learned from different guests who've come on the show. We've had different kombuchas and different people coming in and kind of explaining about the process of making it. And I know that it is good for your gut. I don't necessarily know why necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of it, where people are reading that we should have more fermented foods and we should be eating this and we should be eating that, and why kombucha is beneficial. But I think we're seeing more and more and more evidence that there's a direct correlation between things like gut health and mental health, which is one of the huge things that, from a personal perspective, from sort of kids at home, and there is a huge, going back to Jamie's TV show when he did about school dinners, they had seen a direct correlation between the wrong food in and behavioural changes. A lot of that's down to leaky gut, and a lot of that is down to an unhealthy gut. I think we're just scratching the surface, but seeing that all of these things are massively influential in how we feel and how we are on a kind of mental health level. So I think there is another huge reason to be exploring it. But it's one of those that, how do you remember all of it? That's why shows like this are great, because hopefully we can extrapolate the key points, and the guests we'll have on will explain it. But no, I feel very much out of my depth, so I'm looking forward to learning more about it.
I think it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? We know that you take B vitamins, right? Because it's supposed to help give you a bit of energy and make you feel happier and things like that. And I suppose if you're eating foods that don't contain B vitamins, or you are eating foods that do, but your body's not absorbing them properly, I can see how that would then link to all the different elements of what is, you know, your entire kind of homeostasis of your body.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you're eating the right things, but you're preventing your body from absorbing them because you're also eating the wrong things. So you could be eating exactly the right things, but the absorption is a key thing. And so it's a minefield to sort of start to unpick it.
I know.
But hopefully you can get there.
There's lots of different things out there. There's kombucha and kefirs, and there's sauerkrauts and kimchi, and there's so many different things. I feel a little bit overwhelmed about which I'm supposed to have. And I suppose maybe it doesn't matter. You don't have to eat all of these different things to have great gut health. Maybe you just pick one or two.
Yeah.
And that'll really, really help. We know that our immunity lies in our gut, so I guess it makes sense. Happy gut, happy immunity, happy
self,
brain.
Happy self, yeah. Well, I guess, you know, how much of it, how many types and how much of it quantity-wise. But actually, what are the worst things we shouldn't be putting into our bodies? I think there's two things. And at the moment, there's a lot of stuff in the spotlight, whether it's ultra-processed foods. There's a lot of stuff. So, you know, there's the good and the bad. And I think it's trying to get to grips with what should we be eating more of, what should we be eating less of. And I think this is definitely a good starting point to sort of steer us through that. I say minefield, but it's just lack of knowledge and lack of information on our part, because there's so much messaging and it's so confusing.
Yeah, what's level?
True.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So I think, you know, there'll always be somebody who'll say something like, well, it's all common sense and everything in moderation, which is no help at all. So yeah, I'm genuinely looking forward to this, because while I know what a live yogurt is and bet just about understand a kefir and a kombucha and what sauerkraut is, what does it look like as part of a sensible overall diet, I think. So I think, you know, having a spoonful of kimchi once a month is probably not going to help. And actually looking forward to trying these, because I think they've all come along so far. It's like anything, when it was health foods or the vegan foods, when they first came out, they were pretty dreadful. The ready ones, you know, in the supermarkets that were available. We've got that second or third wave now, so generally stuff isn't just functional, it's also delicious. So I think I have quite high hopes for some of these.
We do have an expert coming on the show a little bit later on. who's going to talk to us about probiotics and prebiotic. But for now, we've got a few different things to taste here.
Okay.
We've got a beetroot kimchi from Zambar Ferments.
Yeah.
And we've got a ruby beetroot sauerkraut from Biona Organic. So I thought we could sort of taste these side by side and kind of compare and contrast.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna kick off with the kimchi.
Yeah, me too. I love a bit of kimchi.
I do love kimchi.
It's usually got a bit of a spicy kick to it, hasn't it? Which is delicious.
Lovely texture, lovely crunch. I've never had a beetroot kimchi. I think that whole world's opening up. I mean, traditionally I used to get kimchi from the sort of Korean supermarket. Now it's in the mainstream. You can get it in the supermarkets. This one, there's a bit of heat to it. There's that lovely fermented tang. Yeah, I mean, if this is going to improve my life immeasurably, I'm more than happy to get on board with it.
Yeah. I suppose that's the sort of, where do you use it? If you've never had kimchi necessarily, or it's not something that you regularly buy, but maybe have tried once or twice, the thing here is forming the habit that changes it. So, you know, maybe replacing your Branston pickle, or replacing where you might have a cornichon or something, and thinking, right, actually kimchi might work really well here.
Because it's got the crunch, it's got the texture. So I'm immediately thinking, where would you use it? It would be great with cheese. It would be great in sandwiches. But then you're thinking, cornichon. Could you use that as an alternative to cornichon in a steak tartare, for instance? You know, venison tartare with beetroot kimchi. That sounds like a £34 canapé in an expensive restaurant.
I've just tried the sauerkraut, which is also its baby beetroot from Biona. And sauerkraut tends to be a bit softer, doesn't it? Kimchi's got a bit more crunch, a bit more chili to it. Sauerkraut tends to be more sort of vinegary, pickly, acidic flavours, and it tends to be softer, doesn't it? Is it partially cooked? I can't remember.
I don't think it should be. I think it's just because it's been cut very, very thin. I'm just having a look at the ingredients. I mean, the good news is that with all these products, there's very little in there. There's nothing I don't recognise. Although probably a bit of a naive one, that ignoring products that have got hundreds and hundreds of products you've never heard of is probably doing a world of wonder.
Yeah, agree.
There's a kick of sort of allium note from onion. It's it's probably not as complex flavor-wise as the kimchi. The kimchi does have a garlic. There's got that sort of slightly chili kick. There's ginger in the kimchi. So, we're comparing apples and oranges. Well, be it they're both fermented, they're both very different. Both of which I'd happily incorporate into a diet. You know, you could run either through a salad.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't think I'm in love with it, but I don't not like it.
You know, we're not picking favourites, but I'd probably find more I could do with the kimchi.
Yeah, I agree. The Zambar ferment.
Which is delicious. And I think that's just it, you know, where people are already struggling with, you know, people struggle to get their five a day in.
Yeah.
How are we meant to incorporate all of these kind of things? And I think that's why in formats that, whether it's live yogurt or kombucha, getting that fermented stuff into you is easier. And I think as with anything, there's going to be a bewildering array of options. It's how do you extrapolate what's relevant and what's the right way to do it. But, you know, having a kombucha in the morning with a live yogurt is more than doable. Factoring in a sauerkraut or a kimchi into your diet through the week from time to time, probably not impossible.
Exactly. I mean, for me, the other three we have on the table here, which are, I mean, two are yogurt-based and one is a drink, feel a lot easier for me. So the other one is a kombucha, which we'll come to at the end. But the kefir, this one's a Yeo Valley kefir with honey in it. I just find that really easy. I'm already eating yogurt. Yeah, so a one-for-one swap of a yogurt feels like a very easy thing that you can do that you know is going to be helping your gut health.
I think the other thing to mention here is that there is a cultural reference. There's a cultural framework that I think is relevant. If you were Korean, you would probably be eating kimchi generally as part of a diet. Or if you're, countries that will have sauerkraut much more ingrained. We eat yogurt for breakfast every day. There are countries that probably don't, and therefore the yogurt would be as confusing as the kimchi to somebody from that cultural perspective. So it's an understanding of that becomes quite important. A kombucha is just a drink, so people can factor that in however they do. But the fact that we eat yogurt anyway, the kefir is an easy fix.
I mean, I'm holding here Hinxton Farm Dairy, which is local to where we are based here. It's a live whole milk yogurt. It's got live cultures in it already. It's all, you know, it's naturally full of, I guess it's going to be prebiotics and probiotics, but I'm really hoping that our expert guest, when he comes in shortly, will explain to us what the difference is between those.
Well, I think the fact that you and I haven't got all the answers at the moment is actually a good thing, because having an expert on the subject really steers us in the right direction. Mm. I think, you know, the expectation when you go into the supermarket, which is you should know what a prebiotic and what a probiotic does and why you should be eating more fermented food. People don't know the fundamentals, but people don't like to feel stupid. So you just kind of nod and grin and bumble along. But actually being able to ask those questions of an expert like Stephen, it means that we get a straight answer from somebody who's knowledgeable. So, you know, we've looked at this from our judging palates about how do they taste. But from a functional perspective, I'm none the wiser. And that's what I'm looking forward to hearing from an expert who is.
Brilliant.
Okay, last one. So we've tried the kimchi, the sauerkraut, the kefir, the yogurt. And now for the kombucha.
This is Zach's kombucha. Again, based quite local to us here. He's actually been on the show before. You might remember him. Mm. I added this because of all the things that you're trying to incorporate into your diet, a drink, it's the easiest, isn't it? You just swap that out for your lunch or, you know, I actually think this is quite a grown-up flavour that you could have in the evenings instead of a beer or something after work.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with kombuchas. They do have that depth of flavour that's more than just a cordial or an effervescent. You've got that, because of that fermentation, you have got more depth of flavour to it. And actually, texturally, it's slightly different. But no, you know, if you could quite easily have that as part of your morning routine of having a glass of that.
And that would probably help enormously with gut health. Should we get our guest in?
Let's do it. You and I have said the word probably quite a lot.
We have.
Let's somebody who'll tell us categorically.
We are really pleased to welcome Stephen Van Middleman from FIRST into the studio. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So can you tell me about FIRST? It says living soda on the side. What does that mean?
FIRST is the first of its kind, excuse the pun.
Hey.
But it's an all-natural, great-tasting, no sugar, no sweetener living soda, which combines the gut-friendly probiotics and prebiotics. It's the only soda, good soda, on the market, which is science-backed and which ensures the shelf stability of the ingredients, specifically the probiotics and the prebiotics, meaning they survive every process from production to digestion, and which actually reach the gut where they're meant to be.
I know probiotics are supposed to be something that you take every day. It's really good for your gut health. What is it? And what's the difference between pro and pre?
Well, the biggest difference is probiotics are the living microorganisms in your microbiome, your gut microbiome. These are the gut-friendly bacteria, which have health benefits. Mm-hmm. Prebiotics are undigestible fibers, which you find in different foods, fruits, vegetables. And they also actually are not digested. So they actually reach the column and they are a food for the probiotics, for the healthy bacteria.
So we need both of them.
You need both of them, and you can see it as a little bit the fertilizer. So fibers or prebiotics are the fertilizers for the healthy probiotic bacteria.
So in these living sodas, and I can see there's three different flavors here, you've got pro and pre in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why it took us 2 years to develop.
And actually to ensure that both survive every process, right?
And that was really important for us because, you know, you can claim you have X billion of probiotics, but if they don't survive the production process or even the digestion process, which is goes through an oral phase, then stomach phase, if they don't survive that, I mean, there's no really benefit of having living cultures in a drink. So first, that was really an important quest to find out how can we actually keep the probiotics stable and how can we, you know, survive the different processes.
We've just been having this discussion about how we get the concept that you need lots of good, friendly gut bacteria. But we were really kind of debating, A, why? What exactly is it about the gut bacteria that's so good for the body? And B, how much? How can you tell whether you've done it well enough? Mm-hmm.
It's not an instant functionality like you have with energy drinks, for instance. You know, if you drink an energy drink, you feel instantly, boom, you have more energy. Here, it's more a overall functionality, which benefits your full physical and mental, you know, health. Of course, you have to realize there's over 40 trillions of cells, microorganisms in your gut microbiome. The entire microbiome in the gut weighs about 1 to 2 kilograms, which is pretty significant. There's over 1,000 different species of bacteria, of probiotic bacteria. So every probiotic culture and strain has different functionalities. Mm-hmm. Just realize that is that 70 to 80% of your immune system is located in your gut. Right now, studies are showing that there's the gut-brain axis. Basically, there's millions of nerves connected between the gut and the brain. You know, even the oldest spiritual text, the Vedas, you know, they describe the gut as a second brain. Mm-hmm. It's your serotonin and melatonin, the happy hormones, that are actually produced in the gut, which affect your mood. I mean, right now, there are studies in the States where they treat patients that are depressed with altering their gut microbiome. So there's so many various health benefits to having a well-balanced gut microbiome.
I think that's where what I find fascinating is that historically there's, I mean, yes, in other cultures there is this complete understanding of that the two are connected, but we here in the UK and the kind of wider Western world, the connection between gut health and mental health is only just beginning to be genuinely understood.
Absolutely.
So we're talking that, you know, the prebiotics are essential to ensure the health of the probiotic in a way. I mean, it allows one to kind of
they're a food source,
flourish.
Yep.
Contrary to that, and I don't know if this is the wrong question to be asking, but are there things that we should be avoiding that will inhibit the functionality of that pro and prebiotic? Is there anything that we could be taking or we shouldn't be putting in or should be removing from our diet to allow those to perform their function?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, it all always depends, whatever thing you take, it all always depends on the individual health status of a person, right? If you have medical treatments like antibiotics, then of course, you know, you have an issue, you definitely need probiotics. Mm-hmm. You know, the two biggest challenges today is if you look at a normal lifestyle, people are eating a lot of processed food. Mm-hmm. I think processed food is definitely gives some challenges to health benefits. Any sugar sweeteners is also in our industry of beverages is also something that could be avoided because sugar is still the biggest enemy of the gut. So that's also why we wanted to create a no sugar, no sweetener product.
Yeah,
because you know for us the health credentials are really important. It's overall right. It's the right lifestyle. It's just being conscious about what you eat, what you drink, and trying to avoid, you know, things like sugar, sweeteners, overprocessed, ultra-processed foods. I think that's the main goal here.
I feel like when you were asking that question, not that I know the answer or have any authority on the subject, but I was thinking fast food, McDonald's. Yeah. Like that's the kind of thing that I was thinking. This can't be good for us. It just doesn't have, you know, anything that it's bringing to your body. It's not nutrients, I think. Mm-hmm. This looks like the most... I love the cans. I love the design.
Yeah,
they've got this
packaging.
Big, juicy kind of lips on the front of them. It looks really cool.
You know, for us, it was... when we started, it was really finding this balance and combining a little bit two worlds. The worlds of soda, which with, you know, the lips are referring to the lip-smacking flavors. Mm-hmm. You know, the more poppy, bold color set. And then the other side, we also are a functional gut soda. So we have the white background, certain fonts, just to show, you know, the functionality of the product.
You can see it now, where you've got the living soda with the active cultures, completely different font. Not it's kind of quite functional, quite practical versus the I mean, just to say it, you hit the brands first, but it's FHIRST. So, first and a play on thirst. And so, you know, there's a bit of fun in there, but actually there is serious messaging as well. And actually changing that font for the two aspects is quite clever.
I've just sneakily shot ahead and tasted the cherry vanilla flavour, which is so nostalgic for me. It really takes me back to being kind of parties as a kid and having cherry cola and... It's got a lovely nostalgic flavour.
With that cream soda kind of nod from the vanilla in there.
Yeah, it's got the flavour without the sweetness.
It's the old nostalgic, you know, Coke cherry, but without the nasties.
Yeah.
And you've also got a passion fruit flavour.
We have passion fruit, which is our sunshine in a can. And then we have a ginger mandarin, which, you know, gives a well-balanced spicy kick with, you know, the juicy mandarin flavour.
That one really feels very refreshing. You get a very clean, almost slightly dry palate after it.
you'd haven't got that heavy residual kind of feel that you get with sugared carbonated drinks. You've got there's an effervescence, but there is that clean finish. And I think anything when you've got ginger, it has that slightly palate stripping quality, and you think this must be doing good for me. It would be a very easy thing to incorporate into your diet because it tastes good and it's refreshing.
This just goes with your lunch, doesn't it?
Exactly. Or
whatever you're doing during the day. It's a drink in the afternoon that isn't tea, it isn't coffee. Mm-hmm. Actually, you could have a first. And I can see that is a lovely, refreshing drink that actually you can feel really good about because it's got these functional benefits and it tastes nice. What's not to love?
That was the main goal, is to have a real better-for-you soda, which just is big on taste, you know, which you can replace with any other, you know, sugar-loaded soft drink, but still have the added benefits of pro and prebiotics.
I think that's where we are now, you know, looking for an alternative to heavily sugared drinks. Mm. You know, people are, whether it's concerned about the sugar, or whether people are getting concerned about things like phosphoric acid, and you know, some of the things that we nobody ever read the back of a tin as a kid. You know, you just drank it because it was a treat. And I think now we are aware of the damage it's doing. To have something that kind of not only corrects that but does something more forward thinking, so it's just not. It's not that it's not bad for you; it's actively good for you. So there's a difference between the two, but. I mean, what sort of quantities are we talking? You know, this is the other thing AJ and I were talking about earlier. Is like, you know, we've got the 40 trillion
microorganisms. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, each can has 2 billion living cultures. Mm-hmm. We have 5 grams of probiotic plant fiber. But listen, we're still a soda. We're still a drink. We're not a food supplement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's no recommended daily quantities. You can drink as many, but just like everything else, you know, too much is never.
It's probably not a good idea. Right?
And it was that it's within.
Little and often, doing a few different things will probably have the effect you want. And we know that healthy diets are kind of the high fiber foods and lots of lovely green vegetables and legumes and garlic and things like that are all going to help your gut health, but it's almost these are the cherry on top. I mean, the cherry vanilla on top, but they're the sort of what else can I do? I'm, you know, you're already trying to eat a good diet, and I suppose sometimes, and I'm sure you're not supposed to think about it this way, that the times that I have had some junk food because maybe, you know, the pester power of children is high. Afterwards, I'm thinking, right, I'm going to need to take a probiotic, need a probiotic drink or something to just help me to process this food that I probably shouldn't have eaten.
We do have to fundamentally change our lifestyles. The problem is that people are looking for that silver bullet where they think, you know, I don't do any exercise and I don't drink any water and I eat rubbish, but if I'll have one of these, I'm fixed.
I'm done.
So I think that's people have to understand there needs to be a reality check on the fact that we have to, it's an overall. It's not one thing will fix everything. And I think we've become obsessed with finding that solution, whether it's weight loss or exercise or take a supplement.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. And I think we need to, that's the bit that everyone's kind of going to go, oh, does that mean I've got to work at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm. People kind of going at the end of the month, how come I don't look like an Olympian athlete? I've drunk one of these and had a yogurt once a day. It's like, you kind of meet me halfway on this one.
I mean, this is part of a holistic approach, right?
There you
I
go.
Mean,
that's
apart
exactly
from,
it.
From, you know, selling drinks. For us, it's also really important to raise awareness on gut health, but just, you know, on sugars, on sweeteners, on biodiversity. For us, this is really an important aspect, is to raise awareness, to offer people, you know, more information about all these different topics. It's our first for knowledge.
Aidan, we were saying that I would consider ourselves to be relatively well-informed when it comes to food and drink. Mm. Do you have much of the information on the website? I mean, is there much literature we can access? You know, people want to really get into the nuts and bolts of what is gut health and what is a leaky gut and how does the biome affect your overall mindset and headspace. Is there much information of that on your website?
Yeah, we're evolving our website to 2.0, and we're going to have a separate section on our first for knowledge. We're also partnering up with different health experts.
Okay.
You know, health is never evolving journey, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we're not arrogant to say, you know, we have the truth. We're also looking into data and the scientific results and seeing where we can, you know, optimize and improve wherever we can. So we have different health experts, nutritionists, medical practitioners that also will actually provide all the information on gut health on, you know, different topics around our industry.
I think that's the crux of it, is the shift in behavior, but it has to be led by information. I think people, there is so much comms out there, there is so much information, but I think it's overwhelming and it's almost like, how do I even start? And you almost need to kind of take a breath, stop everything and pick it up at the beginning. And once you've had enough messing and you're not you just block it all out. You're just like, do you know what? I can't process it. I don't get it. So something like that as a starting point, I think is fundamentally important to understand why you're doing it.
Absolutely. And I think the challenge is also to bring something very complex, because, you know, or human machine is the most complex machine in the world.
Yeah.
Explaining, you know, how the gut microbiome works is pretty challenging. So we're also trying to find a very simple way to explain people, you know, what probiotics are, prebiotics, the impact, the health benefits.
Well, I think that's a starting point, right? Yeah. And I know what you're going to ask next, AJ, because you've definitely taken a shine to at least one or two of the flavors.
Yeah. Where can we buy this?
So right now we're available on Amazon, our own website, first.com. And we have over 600-700 independent stores nationwide. And right now, you know, we're talking to the different multiples.
And we need better products in the grab-and-go area. You know, when you go into the supermarket and you're getting your sandwich and you look at the wall of, you know, Cokes and lemonades and Fantas, and I just personally would never now pick anything like that, and haven't for years. And you're sort of, you go all the way along and then there's a little slither of, you know, a smoothie, which again is still quite high in sugar, and a few different things that are better for you. But I always think that's an area that could really expand.
Well, I was going to ask a question, which is a very boring question, but I think quite an important one in order to make this easier to integrate into a lifestyle. So generally the yogurts and the kefirs will all be in the chiller section. Is this ambient stable, or will this also be in the refrigerator, in the chiller section?
First is ambient stable.
Okay.
But of course, you know, we also try to be in the chiller, because for people, grab and go and
but yeah. If it was in your car and if it sat in your bag, you know, you left yogurt in your car by the end of that day on an August day, you probably wouldn't want to eat that.
Or kefir or any of those things.
You know, anything where it's all feeling a little bit firmer, the foil lid is really kind of straining. So there is that as well. So, you know, you can make choices that you don't have to bin your lunch in that case. You still got that. Yeah. So that was the reason why I asked.
That was a goal for us as well, to have something shelf stable.
I bet that came with its own challenges. Yeah.
We just finalized our first in vitro digestion study, because we also wanted to show that our cultures are actually alive and reach the gut, and the results were just phenomenal. So we were able to prove that, you know, we survived the production process, the oral phase, the stomach, which is, you know, pretty high in acid.
Yeah.
And over 90% of all cultures survive all these processes and reach the gut where they are colonized, which is pretty massive, because no other, you know, brand or product has ever shown that. And, you know, we found a special process, and we micro-encapsulate our cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, we're able to show these results.
Sadly, we've come to the end of the show, but thank you so much to Stephen from FIRST, that's FIRST, for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you again to Dhruv Baker.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. That was genuinely very insightful.
Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating. I feel a little bit more empowered now about making healthy gut choices. You've been listening to Food Rebels, which is available on radio stations around the UK. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Audible. Please remember to subscribe, follow, rate, any of those things. It makes a huge difference. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and don't forget to taste the rebellion.